We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, it is. Good day to you on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206, radio.com app, CBS Sports app, CBSSportsRadio.com. All the AM and FM affiliates that have picked up today's show as we work our way through another college football Saturday where Notre Dame is on upset alert right now. The number four ranked team in the country has a slim lead, 12-7. This game at an over-under in the 60s. Notre Dame and Louisville have combined for 19 points. Louisville has the ball right now at their own 38-yard line, a third down. Just very, very pedestrian stats for Notre Dame so far in this game. Ian Book is 8 of 16 through the air, but he does have a rushing touchdown, and he's run it 12 times. No turnovers in this game. And that has been Louisville's problem, and that is one thing I said earlier in the show about this matchup. Now, I didn't expect it to be this low scoring, but I told you Louisville's problem have really just been mistakes. They beat themselves a lot. 11 giveaways. Notre Dame hasn't taken the ball away from the Cardinals, and that's how you get a five-point lead. I don't think, especially when comparing both offensive units, I don't think there's a big difference between the two. Louisville's problems have been fumbles. Their quarterback has not protected the ball well, Cunningham. But this game's been low scoring, a lot of long drives. Notre Dame had a fake field goal that they screwed up. And so it's 12-7 as that game heads to the fourth quarter right now. The other game, you know, the big game is 3 hours from now. Georgia, Alabama. The other game in progress that we're taking a look at is Texas A&M at Mississippi State, and A&M is trying to keep the momentum going after last week's win over Florida, had over 500 yards of offense. Isaiah Spiller has two touchdown runs for A&M. KJ Costello is in at quarterback for Mississippi State after getting benched last week for Rodgers. Costello has thrown a pick. Mississippi State is without Hill, their big running back. The game's in Starkville, 11th ranked, A&M 14. Mississippi State, nothing, as A&M, an interesting start to the year, blown out by Alabama, bounced back and beat Florida. Very ugly win against Vanderbilt, a terrible team. And so now they're trying to avoid what would be, you know, that would take and suck up all the positivity. Jimbo Fisher, worth the money, worth the investment, we're on the right track. All that would go away if they somehow lost to Mississippi State. That game's in the second quarter, 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, A&M 14, and Mississippi State nothing. Kellen Mond, 5 of 8 in that game, 33 yards. He's played an efficient game, a smart game so far. Also, 3-0 Dodgers in the second inning. Corey Seager's hit a home run. It's Walker Buehler versus Max Fried as LA is trying to force a game seven just like Houston did last night in the Rays and Astros play in 3 hours. Week six of the NFL gets started tomorrow. Remember, there was no Thursday night game. That Bills-Chiefs game got pushed back to Monday. And I've got five questions, five things I wanted to get into here about week six. The five biggest storylines to week six of the NFL season. And I'll get some of your thoughts coming up here at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The first one is personal for me. The first one is a sweet spot topic question. And that is Steelers-Browns. I live in Pittsburgh. I'm broadcasting from Pittsburgh. I do an afternoon show on 93.7 The Fan, a CBS Sports Radio affiliate here in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers have won 16 in a row at Heinz Field versus the Browns. They haven't lost to the Browns at home since 2003. The Browns have started 12 different starting quarterbacks in those games. Baker Mayfield will become the first one to start three. They've never had a quarterback during that run of 16 games start more than two games. Colt McCoy has started two. Derek Anderson has started two. Baker Mayfield is about to start his third. Barring this rib injury keeping him out, which I hear he's going to play even though he's questionable, which by definition is 50-50 when you put him on that injury report, but I've heard that it's looking more like 70-30 or 80-20 that he plays in this game. But this rivalry has been, you know, rock versus scissors. It's been bug windshield. It's been hammer nail for so long. Roethlisberger's never lost, like I said, to Cleveland in Pittsburgh, and he's 23-2-1 all time against him. The question is, are the Browns for real? And I've given this a lot of thought. I've had to give this a lot of thought because of the game meaning so much to my audience and really meaning so much to me this week, living it, being immersed in it. And I think the Browns are real for 2020, but I don't think they're real beyond that. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I think this Browns team is going to make the playoffs. They're 4-1. They get to play the NFC East. They get to play the AFC South. They get to play a third place schedule. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to go 9-7, and they're going to find themselves playing an extra game in January for the first time since 2002 when they lost to the Steelers and blew a double-digit lead in the last 4 minutes of the game. They're going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to make the playoffs the way Browns fans want them to. The Browns are winning right now in spite of Baker Mayfield. They're not winning because of him. The number one pick, the Messiah for the franchise, is not the reason why they're winning games. They're the number one running offense in the entire NFL, the number one rushing offense. They're averaging 188 yards per game on the ground. And it started with Nick Chubb, now it's Kareem Hunt, and it's even this guy from the XFL, the Ernest Johnson, who I think has been really good, spectacular, has impressed me every time I've seen him behind Hunt. And Bill Callahan is, for my money, either the best or second best offensive line coach in the entire NFL. And they hired him, and it was so smart, and he's made Kevin Stefanski, the new coach there, look smart. You got that on top of forcing the most turnovers in the NFL as a defense. They create extra possessions. They run the ball well. Given the competition they're playing, the Browns will make the playoffs. But here's the problem. It's going to be one of those years, like 02, when Kelly Holcomb led them to the playoffs, or 2007 when they went 10-6, and Derek Anderson led them to a double-digit win season, where you like the season. I mean, you like the team. You appreciate that campaign in a vacuum that you got to watch winning football and you got to see your team make the playoffs. But I don't think we're gonna have questions answered on Baker Mayfield the way that Browns fans want those questions answered this year. Eight of his nine touchdown passes have happened in the first half. He has the worst passer rating of any quarterback in the fourth quarter this year. He's completing 39% of his passes in the fourth quarter. And he doesn't have an excuse. The weapons are there. So, I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to cut it long term. But I think the Browns' ground game, their offensive line, and their opportunistic defense can carry him for the rest of the season. I think the Browns can come into Pittsburgh and win on Sunday. And that'll all of America will think will open their eyes and say, holy smokes, when that happens, because it's such a rarity. And I think that'll be, I think this will be a season worth celebrating in Cleveland. But I don't think it makes them annual contenders the way that the Chiefs are because of Patrick Mahomes or, you know, insert name of franchise quarterback, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, these guys who you feel every year you'll make the playoffs because they're in charge. That's not happening in Cleveland. So good team, but the quarterback's not the reason why. They're for real in 2020, but I'm not bullish on the Browns' future long term. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Are the Browns for real? 855-212-4227. Another big storyline this week in the NFL. The Chiefs sign Le'Veon Bell. Good move? I think it is. But it makes me scratch my head in this way. The Chiefs are not a desperate team. They won the Super Bowl last year. They just had, a 12-game winning streak snapped? And I think they would admit, so far this year in their first five games, they have gotten up for the games that are more measuring stick, like the first game of the year when all eyes are on you, and the Ravens game on Monday night. And they haven't looked as good in games that are, in the grand scheme of things, not as important. The Raiders, the Chargers. And so I think Kansas City is fighting that right now. There's boredom that is set in. And so I see the Bell move that gets made, and I think, all right, this is kind of a spark or a wake-up to the Chiefs. We know they lost Damian Williams, who should have won the Super Bowl MVP last year. He opted out. Their second leading running back, Darrell Williams, has 35 yards on the year. So they could use help in the backfield, but it's just how they use Bell. And I'm in Pittsburgh, so I can speak from personal experience. He's a guy that I think has a big ego and believes that he should be the top dog running back. Well, they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. So Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy and everybody that's got say in that offense is going to have to find a way to convince Le'Veon Bell that he's not going to be the focus of the offense, but he still can be useful. He can still be a piece that makes them better. He's got to stay in his lane. He's got to find his niche, or he's got to accept his role. And I've never seen Bell do that. That doesn't mean he can't. The fact that he signed with the Chiefs tells me that he at least is going into this with eyes wide open, that he knows, you know, he isn't going to get 20 touches a game. I think for Bell, on a personal level, it's also his last chance. You know, when you stink in New York with the Jets and you average 3.2 yards a carry and your longest run is 19 yards and you don't have any 100-yard games and all of that, you know, the organization and the coach get blamed a lot. You don't play well, but you don't own all of it. It's not all on you. It's not just your responsibility for coming up short. With the Chiefs, it'll be that way. If Bell can't put up numbers in Kansas City, his career's over. He won't get another job. Because at that point, everybody will say he's shot. He'll be a 29-year-old running back that'll be 3 years removed from his last good year. So this is it for him. And maybe that urgency, maybe the Chiefs signed the equivalent of Cam Newton at running back. Not a lot of money, very low risk, but a lot of reward potential there. And so that's why I like it for Kansas City. I don't think that Bell is going to find his Steelers form. I think he'll be better than LeSean McCoy was in that offense last year, where he led them in rushing but didn't put up huge numbers. But I don't think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. I don't like them. I don't like them all that much more because of this move. It's kind of less relevant or more insignificant than a lot of people think. I think the only way it could become a big deal is if Bell just hates his role there and creates a problem, which I don't think will happen, but I also will say there's a greater than 0% chance that something like that would happen there. So, do you think Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs is a good move? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's another one of the big week six storylines. So is Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, Bucks versus Packers on Sunday afternoon, 425 Eastern, 125 Pacific. The question there is Brady done? Is he shot? The four fingers, the senior moment thing that happened against the Bears did not look good in that game. No, where is Tom Brady now at 43 years old? The Bucks are 3-2. They only scored 19 points. What's going on with him? What do we make? What does Brady have left? Is he on E? Is he on empty? Is he shot? 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. But, you know, a lot of quarterbacks have much better numbers than him this year. It's been an offensively driven year. I think the Bucs will win, and I think Brady will have a strong game. And the reason why I'm confident in saying that, and I don't want to overreact to these numbers, is because Chris Godwin has only played 2 games. The Bucs have played 5, Godwin's only played in 2. We knew the problem for Brady last year in New England is that he didn't have the weapons. We saw what happened to him when he didn't have great players around him. He signed in Tampa in part because he gets a chance to play with really, really, really good receivers. And so what happens when Mike Evans has been there, but he's been hobbled with a hamstring problem, and you take Chris Godwin away, you don't have a running back because Leonard Fournette's been banged up, you lost O.J. Howard for the season. You're going to have Godwin and Evans on Sunday. Get back to me after this game. The Packers' defense, it's not like they've been super stout. It's not like they've been blowing people up and shutting people down. I think Brady, I love, still, even at this advanced age, I love Brady in games when people start to write him off. When people start to go the other direction, and all week, all he's heard about is how Aaron Rodgers is better than him. Look at Aaron Rodgers, MVP form. He's so motivated by the Jordan Love pick. He's taken tight ends who people have never heard of, transforming them. Doesn't need Devontae Adams. Guy's been perfect. Love Brady in spots like this when those things get said. Do you think Brady's done? Do you see a guy who's shot, and are we going to see tomorrow afternoon him struggle against the Packers, and will we see more proof that he's ready for retirement? 855-212-4227. Another storyline for Sunday. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Well, this one's actually a Monday game. Can Andy Dalton lead the Cowboys to a winning record? Can Andy Dalton, I don't want to say blessing in disguise because that got Tony Dungy in a lot of trouble. Can Andy Dalton, I'm not even going to say make the playoffs with the Cowboys because that's too easy. The division is so bad. The Giants and Washington are complete afterthought teams, and Dallas is in first place. So I can't ask, are they going to finish in first? Are they going to win the division? I can ask at 2-3, can they get to 9-7? Can Dalton come in and get them there? The remaining schedule for them, I'll just run through some of the harder games they have. Steelers at home, at the Vikings, at the Eagles, at the Ravens. Really, that's it. Still have 2 games with Philly. They haven't played Philly yet. Still have a game with Washington. Still have a game with the Giants. The Washington game's at home. That's a win. They got 2 games with Washington, excuse me. They'll sweep Washington. That's 4 wins. They'll beat Arizona on Monday night at home. 5 wins. I could see them beating the Steelers at home. 6. Niners at home. 7. Eagles at home. 8. At the Bengals, Dalton goes back to Cincy. I mean, that's a story. Yeah, I think that was one of the best moves made. 2 of my favorite moves in the NFL this offseason were Jameis Winston to New Orleans and Andy Dalton to the Cowboys. Andy Dalton took the Bengals to the playoffs 5 consecutive, or produced a winning record there. Yeah, playoffs five consecutive times. I think that's right. Five straight trips to the playoffs. Now, they didn't win any of those games. We know he's not a great quarterback. There's a reason why he had to take a one-year, $3 million deal. But he's the best backup or the second-best backup quarterback who isn't a rookie. Not talking about like a Tua or one of those guys. And one thing that he'll do is that when he's protected, he'll make plays. So the Cowboys have both of their tackles out. If it stays that way and they don't get better, if they don't get better up front, then Dalton will struggle because he had weapons in Cincinnati, guys like Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, Joe Mixon, Tyler Eifert. But when they couldn't protect him there, he was awful. He was terrible. Now, I happen to think these Cowboys players around him are even better than what he had in Cincinnati. But that is, as long as the Cowboys give him adequate protection, he'll do fine there. And that's really all they're demanding or asking of him. Let me change that. The problem is their defense gives up so many points that he can't just manage the game. So that is going to be part of the struggle for him. The games he's going to play there at quarterback are not going to be won 24-21. They're going to be more like 38-35. I think in today's NFL, he can get to those numbers, though, if the offensive line holds up. He needs Smith to get back healthy. But yeah, I think that's I think 9-7 is perfectly within reach for the Cowboys because they signed the right backup quarterback. If this happened last year, Dallas would be on their way to a 5-11 season. Jerry Jones, crush him, hasn't won a Super Bowl in 20-plus years. That was a great move to bring him in. And Dalton couldn't have predicted this, but this is now his career at a crossroads. If he goes in there and does well, even if Dallas brings back Prescott on the franchise tag, he'll have opportunities elsewhere, just like Teddy Bridgewater did in New Orleans last year. Same situation, same kind of guy, same type of quarterback. Dalton, he could parlay this into being like the Bears quarterback next year if he does this right. So those are some of the storylines. I want to get your thoughts. You think the Browns are for real? Is Tom Brady done? The Chiefs signing Le'Veon Bell, do you think that was a good move? Do you think Andy Dalton can lead the Cowboys to a winning record? Pick one of those. Give me your take. We'll go back and forth on it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, I'm at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. We're at CBS Sports Radio. The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wild day on the NFL front in terms of positive COVID tests and the way the league is handling them. Erica Herskowitz will tell you more in a few minutes, but it's wild. Jacksonville just put like a dozen players on the list. New England has placed Sony Michel, Shaq Mason, Derek Rivers on the list. The Broncos had a coach test positive, not Vic Fangio, but an assistant test positive, and none of these games have been postponed. So something has evidently changed from today, like how the league was handling things a week or two ago to now. Because a week ago, this would have been enough to push a game back, right? With Tennessee, every time a positive test came in, they moved the game back a day until they postponed it. This Broncos-Patriots game was supposed to be played last week, but Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore tested positive. Well, now more Patriots players are testing positive, and it still looks like they're going to play the game. Go figure. I just don't get the lack of consistency. What makes it safe now? What made it unsafe 2 weeks ago? That's what I don't get. And you won't get answers from the NFL. We'll have to rely on insiders to work their back channels and get the information to us. Like, Goodell won't put out a memo telling you why their policy has changed. 855-212-4227 is the number. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Talking about the biggest storylines for week six of the NFL, a few that I've narrowed them down to are the Browns for real? They are, you know, 24 hours from now, we'll know the answer to that question, depending on how the game against the Steelers go. They win the game, people will look at them as a legitimate team. They lose, same old Browns. What do you think about that team right now? 855-212-4227. Is Tom Brady shot what we saw against the Bears? More of that in the offing. Andy Dalton, can he rescue the Cowboys? Can he lead them to a winning season? Le'Veon Bell, was that a good signing by the Chiefs? 855-212-4227. Here's JT in Georgia on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, JT.
Hey, good afternoon, Tony. I always love your show, man, no matter what time you're on, man. Appreciate it. One of the things I want to do is get right to it is what you announced about the Browns. As I look at the Browns, I think the one thing is that the Browns' offense is and the team is already in a ready-to-win now, and I don't know if Baker Mayfield is quite ready grasp what that means. You know, they have a new offense. It's a whole lot easier for receivers to look at the playbook and say, yes, I can run this route or blocking schemes, but he has to see it. And I don't know if he's seeing it as clearly as he wants to, just based on experience.
I think it's not just – thank you, JT. I don't think it's just experience. I think it's ability. He's had great offensive line play. He's had incredible protection, which is what he always had at Oklahoma. He was the best blocked for, best protected quarterback in all of college football when he was there. Go back and look at the numbers. He was never pressured. Very rarely got hit. One game where he did was the second half of the playoff game against Georgia, and he was rotten in the last 30 minutes of that game. Play action, they do a ton of that. They've got the wide receivers. They've got the tight ends. They've got the run game. And he still hasn't been good. I don't know what to tell you. He is in what every player wants. He's been put into a position to succeed. Now he can't blame anybody but himself for his shortcomings. And 9 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Look at that old school perspective. That's not bad. But in today's NFL, it's not good. We're seeing more and more fantasy football numbers. Quarterbacks are putting up gaudy numbers. Mayfield's not. Now, to Stefanski's credit, the Browns aren't bending their offense to Baker. They're better at running the ball. They've got the personnel to do that effectively. That's what they're doing. That's where they're going. That's smart. Don't cater the offense to the number one draft pick. Build the best offense possible. Don't do it just because of how much you have invested in each player. Here is Tyler in Wisconsin on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I was just wanting to talk a little bit more about Dallas. I heard you say, you know, you thought they were going to beat Pittsburgh. You thought they were going to beat Arizona at home and then pretty much sweep through that division. I'd like to hear a little bit more on why you think that, you know, they could beat a team like Pittsburgh at this point, or even a team like Arizona. I know Andy Dalton is probably the best backup in the NFL, and he's a good quarterback, but, I mean, their defense it's been terrible this year, and the only thing that's been keeping him alive is Dak Prescott, so I don't see them getting to that 9.
So you see a big drop-off from Prescott to Dalton. I don't.
I think it's at least 14 points a game from what we've been seeing.
Wait a minute. You think that Prescott is worth 2 touchdowns to them per game?
Over Andy Dalton, yeah, I do.
So then the line for Monday night's game, I think, is the Cardinals are favored by 1 point, okay?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that if, in your opinion, if Prescott were the quarterback, if Dak were the Prescott for the Cowboys in that game, then Dallas should be more like a 2 touchdown favorite?
No, I wouldn't say that based off of that. But I,
well,
I don't
you,
think
you, that's you, you just said he's worth two touchdowns. Arizona's favored by one with Dak in there. I mean, without Dak in there.
Compared to what they've been scoring in the garbage time that they've been getting and having to come back in every single game, yeah.
So why wouldn't Dalton be able to score garbage time touchdowns like Dak?
Because he's not as good as Dak.
I agree with that, but you're making it sound like there's a huge difference between the two, and I've yet to hear a compelling reason that backs that up. How many playoff games has Dak Prescott won? How many playoff games has Andy Dalton been in? The difference between the two is there, but it's not like, what is Dak making, $32 million? It's not $32 million to $3 million. It's not that kind of gap. Dak Prescott, based on his salary, is an overrated player. Andy Dalton, based on his salary, is an underrated player. Period. Dalton's been a decent NFL starting quarterback. He hasn't been top 10. He hasn't been top 15. He's probably been top 20, 25. What's Dak? He's not top 5. He's not top 10. So you're going from above average to probably average. And the schedule gets easier, I think. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So the big questions we're talking about are the Browns for real? Is Brady shot? What we saw against Chicago? Are we going to see more of that against the Packers tomorrow? Is Le'Veon Bell a good signing in Kansas City? And can Andy Dalton rescue the Cowboys season? 855-212-4227 on Twitter at the Pony Express, like the name of the show, spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, let me give you one more storyline for Week 6 that I think a lot of analysts and a lot of NFL talking heads have rushed the gun on and have really, I think, exaggerated somebody's demise. This Jimmy Garoppolo thing, where he gets benched against Miami, it was such a Murphy's Law game for Miami. I mean, for San Francisco. You know, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Turnover machine. They get down in the game. They can't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. Richard Sherman's out. You know, they can't get enough pressure. Fitzpatrick is having one of those vintage Ryan Fitzpatrick games. The guy is an average quarterback, but he gets to that point by having, let's say Ryan Fitzpatrick has made 100 starts in his NFL career. I would say 40 of them have been outstanding, 40 of them have been atrocious, and 20 have just been so-so. He is all over the place. He lives on the extremes, Fitzpatrick. He's either incredible, or he's single-handedly losing you the game. And he had a great game last week. Garoppolo, I saw a rumor this week that, you know, there was some thought given to the idea of the Falcons trading Matt Ryan for Jimmy Garoppolo straight up. Like we're living in, you know, some kind of fantasy world where that some NFL people actually thought that that made sense for the Niners. Because Shanahan has a relationship with Matt Ryan that goes back to Matt Ryan's MVP season in Atlanta going to the Super Bowl. I think Garoppolo is... I think Garoppolo is a guy that is probably never going to get his due, because I don't see him ever getting back to a Super Bowl. And the way the whole team around him collapsed, with him missing a lot of throws in the second half too, I feel like with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff, with both of those quarterbacks, they're going to be haunted by the way they played in the big game. And I have not seen anything yet that tells me or suggests to me that there's going to be another moment for them down the line that allows them to redeem themselves for that moment. However, that doesn't mean that Garoppolo is now, you know, he's had Steve Blass disease. Like, he can't throw a football now and can't play the position. I think Shanahan did something in that game that I wish more coaches would do. We're not going to win. Get them out of the game. We already know what our team looks like when he's injured. We're awful with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. I lived a year where we had to play without Garoppolo for 12 games, and we were one of the worst teams in the NFL. So he benched the guy. Part performance, part preservation. I think he'll bounce back and be much better this week. I think the Niners, who are an underdog at home against L.A. Sunday night, I think they'll win that game. Mostert averaged 8 yards a carry in his first game back. The 49ers are a lot like the Browns, who are a lot like the Ravens. There are a few teams in the NFL that are teams that when it's a one-possession game or they're leading, you know, you're it's a tie game or you're winning. Front-running teams, that's San Francisco, that's Cleveland, that's Baltimore. Those are the three teams in the NFL that I think they're totally different when the game... I'm talking about good teams, not like I'm not going to include the Jets, teams that have no chance. I'm talking about teams with playoff or Super Bowl aspirations. Those are three teams that are like that for me. I would not trust Cleveland in a spot where they had to abandon the run. We've seen Baltimore. Lamar Jackson's never made a comeback. Never made a halftime comeback in his NFL career. And we saw San Francisco when too much was put on Garoppolo. They won an NFC Championship game where I think he threw the ball, what, twice in the second half against Green Bay? Kyle Shanahan, those zone-blocking, cutback-blocking teams, they take pedestrian running backs, they make them into stars. You got to have that facet. I mean, Garoppolo's got the Bill Belichick stamp of approval on him. So, I don't think he's... Like, when people said the Niners should trade for Brady this offseason, that made me laugh. The 49ers are in a tough spot right now because of their record and their injuries, and they're in a tough division. But I think Garoppolo can easily change the narrative Sunday night and get San Francisco back in it. Here is Amir in Michigan on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Amir.
Hey, Andy, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Excellent.
I'm a Niner fan, so I was calling for Andy Dalton, but I'm going to talk about both the quarterbacks, if it's okay.
Sure.
So both the quarterbacks, Andy Dalton has never played best his games in the light. So I am expecting him to be a failure again on Monday night with the benefit of Zeke Elliott. You know, so he didn't have a running back in Cincinnati. Marvin Jones always thought of running, throwing the ball with Carlson Palmer or even Sind with Andy Dalton. But, you know, we'll see on Monday.
Well, the thing about Dalton, and thank you for listening. The thing about Dalton is I would not trust him in a playoff game either. He has proven, you're saying when the stakes are raised, Dalton comes up small. I would agree with that. I would not count week 6 against Arizona on Monday night as one of those games. Most of America is going to be, you know, watching the Chiefs and Bills. You know, it's not every Cowboys game, there's a limelight on you. Every time you step on the field for the Cowboys, there's a heat lamp burning down on you. That comes with the territory. Dalton knows that. He grew up there. That's part of the reason why he went back there. These games right now, in the middle of October, don't scare me with Dalton. It's games in January that do. And quarterbacks and players, that everybody has a ceiling. You know, everybody has a place where they go and they can't punch through. And we know what Andy Dalton's is. He can get a team to, I think, he can make a team credible. He can make a team that, he could transform a team that is just okay and do a good team. Like, he's not the type of quarterback that you can have spare parts around him and practice squad guys, and he's going to rise to the occasion and win games with them. You protect him. Like, this is going to shock you when I say this, because this guy's been so clutch and he's the greatest quarterback of all time. But I think Andy Dalton and Tom Brady need the same things right now. Get him weapons, protect him. The Cowboys have the weapons. They got to be able to protect Andy Dalton. Now, I trust Tom Brady in a two-minute drill in January more than I trust Andy Dalton. But what I'm saying with both guys is, right now, Brady, Dalton, they don't take a team that on paper is a 5-win team and make them an 11-win team. Neither one of those guys do that. But if you have built a good, complete team, or I guess I'll just speak to one side of the ball. If on offensively, if you have the parts, they can get the most out of them. And Dalton's not going to be careless with the ball either, which I think will help. Here's Matthew in California on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing, Andy?
Hey, man.
First-time caller.
Cool.
The Andy Dalton topic is great, man. In the spirit of any given Sunday, I still believe they need to – the eye for them is on the playoffs. You got to make – you win a division, you go to the playoffs, and I think they can do that with Andy Dalton. He hasn't won in the past, and he'll probably get a pass now because the defense is spotty and the offensive line kind of sucks. But he'll be good for him, man. I've seen him. Like I say, I'm a Baltimore fan. He's shredded our defense many a times before.
Yeah, you could say he's the second-best quarterback in that division. You can make that case because Wentz hasn't been the same guy since the knee injury, and we know what Daniel Jones is, and you know Washington, Kyle Allen, no, Haskins, no, and what is Alex Smith at this point after that gruesome knee injury, that horrifying, life-changing, career-altering injury. So much fun today. Props to Ryan Hickey in New York for putting it together. We'll be back in this spot again next Saturday talking college football and more with you. The Pony Express. CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.